Mine, I'm fired up about being able to worship God today. And thankfully, we still have that freedom, and it's still something that we can do no matter where we are. And I just want to welcome all of you who are joining us live. I first of all want to say hello to my church family. Again, I love you guys. I miss you. I'm reminded of Psalm chapter 122, verse 1, where David said, "Man, I was glad when they said, we could go back to the house of God." And I'll be really glad when we could all come back together in the house of God and be together as a church family. But I love you guys. I miss you. Hang in there, Lord willing. It won't be much longer. For those of you who are not a part of our church family, we want to welcome you as well. We're so glad that you're tuning in. And I hope today that I'll be able to share some words of encouragement with you. As you can see, we're beginning a new series today entitled, In Times Like These. You know, as a country, I think we would all agree that we have been extremely blessed. I mean, we are one of the richest countries in the entire world. We are extremely blessed, but let me say this, even though we have been blessed for many, many years, that doesn't mean that we as a country haven't experienced seasons of hardships. I mean, you think about the last 100 years or so, whether it was the Great Depression, several different wars, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes that have ravaged our country, or even 9/11. Who could ever forget the terrorist attack on 9/11, it was just a very difficult time for our country. And now we have the coronavirus that everyone is kind of zeroed and focused on because of all the things going on with people getting sick and even dying. And there are people who are losing their jobs, and our economy is not very stable right now. And so again, we're in one of those seasons where we're experiencing hardships. And it's in times like these that so oftentimes people with good intentions will say things or even post things on social media that seems helpful, it seems intellectual, it even seems like it's from God. But is it really true? I remember when I was just a young boy growing up, I remember there was a saying going around, and some of you probably remember this, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will what?" Say it out loud if you know it. "But words will never harm me." Now, listen, that sounds really good, and that may feel really good, but one of the things I learned very quickly as a child is that saying's just not true. Words really do hurt. And I know that in times like these, people can say things, again, with good intentions, but oftentimes, I'm afraid they're just not true. And over the next couple of weeks, I want us to evaluate some of those sayings. And here's the first one. And maybe you've said this before yourself, or maybe someone has said it to you, and that is, God will never give you more than you can handle. Have you ever heard that before? And some of you may say, no, Slade, I know that's true. I've seen that somewhere in the Bible. I know it's in there. I know it says something to the effect of God will never give us any more than we can bear. And I think the scripture you may be thinking of is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. But what I want us to do is I want us to zero in and kind of take a closer look at this verse. Look at what Paul writes. He says, "You need to remember that God is what?" Say it out loud, because this is true. Our God is faithful. Amen? And we can put our hope and we can put our trust in Him. But listen to what he goes on to say. He will not let you be what? Be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are what? Say it out loud. When you are tempted, He will always provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, what is Paul saying here? Well, what he's saying is not sinning is always an option. Listen, you and I, we're going to be tempted. You say, now wait a second, it's late. I'm a Christian. I mean, I've committed my life to Christ. I've been baptized. Well, here's the deal. Unfortunately, our baptism doesn't drown the devil. Okay? And so there are going to be times where all of us, it doesn't matter who we are, we are going to face temptation. In fact, if you look back at the text, notice what Paul says. He says, when you are tempted. Notice he doesn't say if, he says when. And so none of us can avoid temptation. But here's what he also says. He says, but we can always escape it. In other words, what Paul is saying is that no Christian can say, well, I gave in to sin because I really didn't have any other choice. No, that's not true. God will never allow you to be put into a situation where all you could do was fail, where all you could do is disobey Him. In fact, look again at the text. Notice what Paul says. Paul says this of God, He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And really what this is saying is this, if it wasn't for God, then we could be tempted beyond what we can bear. Because you see, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, we have a very real spiritual enemy. And Jesus describes him as a liar and a thief and a murderer. And he would come at us with everything he could to bring us down if God would let him. In fact, how many of you remember the story of Job? That's a great biblical example. Remember, Satan comes before God, and God basically asks Satan, he says, have you seen my servant Job? There's no one else like him on the face of the earth. He is a man of integrity. And Satan says, whoa, 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 whoa. He's a man of integrity because you protect him from me. You bless him. You won't give me a chance to have my way with him. And so notice what happens. Job chapter 1 verse 12. God says, all right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. In other words, God tells Satan, listen, you can attack Job, but you can only go so far. And Job passes the test. And so Satan comes back in chapter 2 before God. And God says to Satan, he says, so what did you think about my servant Job? And he says, well, I know he didn't curse you, but again, you're protecting him. If you'll just let me have my way with him physically, if you'll let me destroy his health, let me tell you something, he will curse you. And so again, God says, verse 6 of chapter 2, all right, do with him as you please, the Lord said to Satan, but spare his life. Again, God says, you can only go so far. Well, in a spiritual sense, you and I have no idea how many times God has protected us from a spiritual attack that we would have fallen to if it wasn't for the protection and the care of God. Listen, God will not let us take a temptation test that is impossible for us to pass. You see, there is always a way out of sinning. That's what Paul is saying in that verse. But, listen, this is very important for us to understand, especially in times like these. But there is no way out of suffering. We're all going to experience times of suffering. Remember what James says in James chapter 1, verse 2? He says, "Dear brothers and sisters," what? Say it out loud at home. "When trouble of any kind comes your way," and he goes on to say, "let it be an opportunity of great joy." But the point I want us to see from this verse is the fact that James doesn't say, "if trouble comes our way." He says, "when trouble comes our way." And oftentimes, that trouble that comes our way, that suffering that we face, is many times more than we can handle. Again, we look back at the Apostle Paul, the same apostle who said, "listen, you don't have to disobey," later on writes to that same church in another letter talking about the suffering and the despair that he went through. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure," and it may be that some of you are under great pressure right now as well. He says, "far beyond our ability to" what? Say it out loud at home. "To endure, so that we" what? "So that we despaired of life itself." Another translation puts it like this: "We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure." Now, let me ask you this morning, does that sound like a guy who is going through more than he could handle? Absolutely. And so here's the deal. Disobedience is not to be excused, but discouragement ought to be expected. There are going to be times of suffering. Even the Apostle Paul suffered. There are going to be times, if we live long enough, where we are going to be overwhelmed by life. And it may be even in times like we're experiencing right now, where we just got more than we can handle. I think another great biblical example of this would have to be Moses. Now, you have to imagine that Moses at one point was probably leading somewhere around 2 million people. And they began to cry out and to say, "we are sick and tired, Moses, of all this manna. We can't take it anymore. Please, we've got to have something else to eat. Give us some meat." And so notice what Moses says to God in Numbers chapter 11, verses 13 through 14. Moses says, "where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is" what? Say it out loud. "The burden is too heavy for me." In other words, what Moses is saying is, "I can't go on. I can't take this anymore. I'm overwhelmed. This is too much for me to handle on my own." And some of you right now may be experiencing that as well. And I want you to know that even though you're suffering, God doesn't have to be the cause of it. It can simply be the consequences of living in a fallen and broken world. And Lord willing, we're going to talk more about that next week. But let me say this: what God does not order, what God does not cause, He does allow. We go back to the example of Satan and where he attacks Job, and God allows Job to be given more than he can handle. I think about David, and of course, many of you remember all that David went through and his time running from Saul, and there are several Psalms where David writes about it. In fact, I think several of the Psalms that David wrote could be entitled, "I just can't take this anymore." And some of you know what that's like. And so God will allow us to go through seasons in the belly of the fish like Jonah, where we don't know what to do but cry out to God in prayer. God will allow seasons that are more than we can handle. And again, these seasons are not just for some. They're for all of us. Again, if we live long enough, listen, we're going to experience hard times. There are going to be times where all of us will know what it's like to be overwhelmed. Because suffering is not an elective, it is a requirement course that all of us have to enroll in, that all of us have to go through. But here's the good news, okay? That's the bad news. But here's the good news. Suffering can be a great gift, especially when it's too much. Look back to the text that I gave you just a few moments ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. And remember where we left Paul. He was writing about how he was in Asia and he was in despair and he was really having a hard time. Well, he goes on to say in the next verse, in fact, we expected to die. He said, but as a result, we stopped relying on who? On ourselves, and learn to rely only on who? On God, who what? Who raises the dead. Man, I love the way the Message paraphrases this particular verse. It reads like this: we felt like we'd been sent to death row, that it was all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strengths or wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally, which is not a bad idea since He is the God who raises the dead. Don't you love that? Why does God give us the gift of too much? I want to mention two things very briefly. First of all, He wants to teach us to rely on Him. Because I think that all of us at some point in time, we're tempted to want to rely upon ourselves. That when we go through hard times, we're tempted to think, well, I can fix this. Or through my own power and through my own strength, I will be able to get through this. But here's something else that you and I need to know about each other. It's true of all of us, and that is we were created with a need for God. I know so oftentimes we just want to be self-reliant. We want to rely on ourselves, but we were created with a need for God, and we are never in more desperate shape than when we forget how desperate we are without Him. And that's why too much can many times be exactly what we need. Because you see, here's the truth. We can't live on top of the mountain. Listen, I am thankful for mountaintop experiences in my life. In other words, I am thankful for all the good times that God has blessed me with. But here's what I understand and here's what I know. I cannot stay there. I can't stay on top of the mountain. Even Paul himself couldn't stay on top of the mountain. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. Listen to what Paul writes. I was called up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was called up to paradise. And I heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. No human is allowed to tell. And in other words, I mean, Paul is having this great experience. I mean, he is being blessed. He's up on the mountain. He's experiencing paradise. But here's the thing, Paul can't stay there. In fact, the very next verse, or the next several verses, this is what it says. This is what Paul says. So to keep me from becoming proud. In other words, Paul says to keep me from being self-reliant, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming what? From becoming proud. 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my what? Say it out loud at home. My grace is all you need. He says, my power works best in what? In weakness. Wow. Our God is so sovereign. Right? I mean, He is so sovereign that He allows Satan to attack Paul so that Paul will not fall to the same thing, to the same sin that Satan fell to, which was pride. Listen, that's how sovereign our good God is. Paul experienced in the depth of the valley a depth of God's grace that he has never known. Let me ask you a question this morning, and I want you to really think about this. How many of you would say that you want to know God? And I guess a better way to phrase that would be this. How many of you would say that you want to have a relationship with God? You want to be close to God. Well, here's the deal. Quite often that won't happen until every prop and every crutch that we've been leaning on is stripped away and God is all we have left. And there's probably some of you who are watching this morning who know exactly what that's like. There have been times when everything has been stripped away. There have been times where you've got to the point where you were going through something and you finally realized, I can't fix this. I can't take care of this on my own. And you got to the point to where you finally just had to let go of it and give it to God and trust Him with it. Maybe it had something to do with work. Maybe it had something to do with your marriage. Maybe it had something to do with your finances, or maybe it was cancer, or maybe it had something to do with your kids. But you got to the point where you realize, you know what, I can't fix this on my own. And you had to let go and you had to turn to God. I'll never forget when I was around my son's age, I was probably around 10 or 11 years old. Our family had a condo in Gulf Shores, Alabama. And there really wasn't a whole lot of stuff to do in Gulf Shores at the time when I was a kid. They had one water park. It was called Waterville. And Waterville is still there today, but it's definitely changed a lot. It's not the same Waterville that I went to when I was a kid. In fact, they had this great big pirate ship. And you could climb to the top of this pirate ship, and then there was this zip line. You would hold on to a rope, and you would zip out over this huge lake. And the lake was just black. I mean, it was pitch black, and it was kind of scary looking. But you would zip out over this lake, and then you would let go, and you would land in the lake. Now, I'm sure they can't get away with that today, because I've no longer seen that there. But I remember my brother and I, we went to the top. And he told me I could go first. And so I grabbed the rope and I went swinging out or zipping out over that huge lake. And I was getting ready to let go when all of a sudden I looked down and there was a great big turtle. And I don't know if it was a snapping turtle or not, but in my mind, it was a snapping turtle. And I was scared if I turn loose, that thing is going to eat me up. And so I just held on as tight as I could. And finally, it got to the point where the lifeguard on the boat was saying, just let go. And then others started saying it. And my brother, he's like, Slate, listen to me. Just let go. But I was bound and determined that I was not going to let go, that I was going to hold on as long as I could until finally, man, I started hurting. I mean, I could only hold up my weight so long. But now I look back on that story and I think, man, it would have been so much easier if I would have just let go. And in a spiritual sense, there may be some of you who need to let go of something. I mean, you need to give it to God and let Him carry it for you. Psalm chapter 55, verse 22 tells us that we are to cast our cares on the Lord and He will sustain us. Now that word cast in the Hebrew comes from the word shalak, and it means to hurl. It means to throw. In other words, if you have a burden, if you have more than you can handle, God says, hurl it at me, cast it at me, and I will sustain you. He says, I'll take it and carry it for you. You see, sometimes we have to realize we can't fix it ourselves. We have to let go. We have to let go of that pride. Remember what James says in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 7? God opposes the proud, but gives what? Say it out loud at home. But gives grace to who? Say it out loud. To the humble. He says, so humble yourselves before God. Now, here's the deal. Anything that humbles us helps us. How many of you have ever prayed this prayer, God, I just don't know what to ask for anymore. I've prayed and I've prayed and I just don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to turn. God, I just can't handle this on my own anymore. And when we pray a prayer like that, it is a sign of weakness. And listen to me this morning, that is a good thing. Because God doesn't give grace instead of weakness. God gives grace in the midst of weakness. When we humble ourselves and we say, God, I need You. God, I can't do this by myself. And His grace to His people usually comes through His people. You say, well, Slate, what do you mean? Well, look back to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. This is what Paul writes. He says, we have placed our confidence where? In Him. And He will continue to rescue us, and You are helping us by praying for us. And so why does God give us the gift of too much? First of all, to teach us to rely solely on Him. But second of all, so that we can comfort and encourage and help others. I'm sure many of you have heard me say that hurt people oftentimes. And that's very, very true. But something else that is true is that hurt people oftentimes help heal other people. Go back to Numbers chapter 11, verse 15. Moses says to God, he says, if this is how you're going to treat me, please just go ahead and kill me right now. In other words, God, I can't take anymore. This is more than I can handle. And so in verses 16 through 17, The Lord says to Moses, bring me 70 men or 70 of Israel's leaders who are known to be leaders and officials among the people. He says, I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. And they will what? Say it out loud. They will share the burden of the people with you. I've selected these men to help share this burden with you. And he goes on to say, so that you will not have to what? To carry it alone. You look at Exodus chapter 18, verses 22 through 23, and Jethro, this is Moses' father-in-law. This is what he goes on to say. That will make your load lighter because they will what? Say it out loud. They will share it with you. And you will be able to stand the strain, and all the people will go home satisfied. Here's the point, guys. You've heard me say this many, many times, and you're going to continue to hear me say this, and that is we need each other. That's why we encourage you to be a part of our church family. I mean, this is great that we can worship live, but there comes a point in time after the coronavirus is gone, we want everybody coming back because we need each other. We need community. That's why we encourage you to be in small groups. That's why we encourage you to arrive early and to leave late so that you can connect with other people. That's why we have activities here at the building so you can connect with our family, but we also want you going out and connecting with people because we need each other. God created us for community, and here's the deal. God often gives grace in more than we can handle seasons through people who understand too much. Let me show you what I mean. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Paul writes, He, that's God, comforts us in all our troubles so that we can do what? Say it out loud. Comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. In other words, instead of praying, God, will you take this thorn away? Maybe what we should be praying is, God, will you redeem it? Maybe we should be praying, instead of, God, take this thorn away, will you use it to bless someone else's life that I come in contact with as I share my story? I'm sure in science class, many of you remember studying about the oyster. You know, oysters can get cracks in them. And oftentimes, a grain of sand will get inside and it will irritate the soft tissue of that oyster. But our God is so good, and our God is so powerful that He created the oyster to secrete, when that happens, to secrete a substance called nacre. And that oyster will take that substance, he will take that nacre, and he will coat that little bitty grain, that little bitty rough piece of sand to where it becomes smooth. And eventually, you know what happens? It becomes hard and it becomes a pearl. In other words, the pain becomes a treasure to give to someone else. Listen, we all go through hardships, and our scars can become our story. I'm sure many of you have heard of Bethany Hamilton. She was the young lady who, at the age of 14, was out on her surfboard surfing when all of a sudden she was attacked by a shark and she lost her arm. But I want you to listen to what she says. She says, I've had the chance to embrace more people with one arm than I ever could with two. Listen, what you've come through can prepare you to help others. Your scars can become your story to witness and to help others. Here's what I want to encourage you to do as we close out today, and I'll be the first one to do it, and you can just kind of comment under mine on our church Facebook page. But I'd like for as many of you that will do it to go on our church Facebook page and just post some sort of hardship that you've gone through, and you don't have to give any kind of details. You know, maybe you've lost a loved one or a friend, or maybe you've been through the terrible pain of divorce, or maybe you've struggled with some addiction, or maybe you've struggled with loneliness and depression, or maybe there's been times when you've gone through financial stress, or you've lost your job. But post it, so that we can all see that as a church family, you know what? We've all got our scars. We've all been through things. And I think many of us will be able to see that we've been through similar things, and we can encourage each other and build each other up. And it may be that right now you post, listen, I'm going through this right now. In other words, this is not something that's happened in the past. This is what's going on in my life right now. And as a family, we can encourage each other. I want you to know that, again, I love you guys, and I'm praying for you, and I want to close out with a prayer this morning, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. But just remember that as we go through times like these, this is a great opportunity to let go of the pride and to turn to God and rely solely on Him, and to use these times that we go through to encourage and to lift up each other. Let's pray. God, we just come before You, and Father, we're just so grateful for all that You do. The way You can take even difficult times in our lives and use them for good. Whether it be to strip away the pride in our lives of solely relying on our power and strength, or whether, Father, it's to find community in others, to encourage others as they go through similar things. But God, we're so grateful for Your grace. We're so thankful for Your Son, Jesus, who came and died for our sins so that we could be free from sin. Not just receive salvation, but totally free from sin. Father, we're so grateful to know that You won't give us or allow us to go through any type of temptation that we can't overcome. And so, Father, we again are just saying to You this morning that we love You. We're grateful for this opportunity to worship You. And we hope You know today how much You mean to us. And we just pray that You will draw us closer and closer to You. And we just pray this prayer in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. All right, at this time, you can get your